Hello and welcome to the Brutal Iron Gym Podcast, where our goal is to cut through the BS and deliver the brutal truth about topics related to health and happiness. Today's podcast is number 1114. The topic is Q&A and the title is Methods to Meet Protein Requirements. Now, if you read through the title there, it's meat, M-E-E-T, not M-E-A-T. So we're not talking about meat, but we are talking about how to get to our protein requirements if you are struggling with that. So what we're doing is I'm kind of addressing a couple listeners' questions. We've gotten more and more feedback from listeners, which I appreciate, and I think it's amazing. So that way I believe or I hope that the podcast is meeting directly more people's needs. So I really appreciate when people send in questions because it lets me know somebody's listening and that somebody's going to benefit from it. It also gives me kind of direction with what to do with these daily podcasts. Now, I definitely don't have any trouble talking every day about something I love, but I want to make sure that what I'm talking about is beneficial. So thank you for the direction. Thank you for the questions. I really appreciate it. So what we're going to look through is we've had a couple questions, a couple issues with people trying to meet their protein requirements, and they were struggling to do so. And it typically comes from kind of not being able to eat enough protein. Very rarely have I ever had somebody eat too much protein, and we had to actually work on that, but that does actually happen. So what we're going to do today is I want to address a couple things on how I would recommend to other people and how I also meet my protein requirements if I'm struggling to do so. So we've talked about protein requirements before, like how much protein you should have. And we do have a podcast way, way, way back when, which is podcast number 33, titled How Much Protein Do I Need? You can do a Google search of Brutal Iron Gym Podcast 33, How Much Protein Do I Need? And you will find that. You can also email us at brutalirongym@gmail.com, and I'll send you the direct link. I'm going to give you the very quick answer, and it does not do like justice to the entirety of the answer, but for real quick reference, we need about 0.6 to 1 gram per pound of body weight, and that depends on our activity level, and it also kind of depends on the leanness of our body. So 0.6 grams per pound is if somebody doesn't really do a lot of physical activity, they just want to maintain the muscle they have and have relatively decent repair from everyday wear and tear of life. So protein, by the way, repairs muscles and helps rebuild structures in the body, and so kind of like maintenance for the body. So 0.6 grams per pound of body weight is pretty good for people if they don't really do it much. 0.8 would be around people who work out maybe 2 or 3 times a week, not super intense, but they're active, they're physically moving around, they're doing more than nothing, more than a sedentary lifestyle. And then 1 gram per pound is definitely good for people who beat the crap out of themselves, hit the gym 4, 5, 6, 7 times a week, and they're, you know, going all hardcore. Now, in the podcast, we talk about people if they go over top of that, are there benefits to it? It's not really necessary. So I've done diets where I ate 2 grams per pound of body weight to 1.5 grams per pound of body weight and 1 gram per pound of body weight. I've done those for extended times, years, and I found absolutely no benefit above 1 gram per pound of body weight. Like anytime I ever ate more than that, I just didn't have enough allowance for my fats and carbs due to my caloric cap of each day. And I actually had low energy, didn't have great results because I was just tired all the time and I couldn't crush my workouts, didn't have full like glycogen storage, just really was not my best because I wasn't able to eat enough fats and carbs to fuel my activity. So I had all the protein I needed, but I had no energy to do the workouts with. So 1 gram per pound seems to be pretty good. Now, what happens if you're 300 pounds, but in an ideal body weight, you might actually only be 200 pounds? You don't need to eat to the 300. You don't need to eat to what you like are. You need to kind of more so eat to what you want to be. Now, there's a ton of leeway to that. You know, when I first started lifting weights, I was a skinny, fat, 165-pound kid, and I always wanted to be a 300-pound bodybuilder with 20-inch arms. I wasn't going to eat 300 grams of protein a day at 165 pounds, thinking that that would get me to 300 pounds. The idea is to eat at what you are, let your body grow. So if I ate at 165, I started growing, I started all of a sudden weighing 170, I would eat to 170. As I grew, I'd weigh 175, I would eat to 175. So if you're going up in protein, it's pretty easy. You just kind of follow right along with your body weight increase, you increase your protein. Now, what happens if you're coming down? Maybe you weigh 250 pounds, but you're thinking like my ideal weight is 200. You know, you can kind of play with that and be somewhere in the middle. And there are nuances out the wazoo of where you should actually be. But I would recommend being kind of somewhere in the middle of the goal. As you lose weight, try to move that number down even further. So if I weigh 250 and I think, you know, maybe 200 would be an awesome weight. I might eat at 225 and see how I feel. If I have really low energy and I feel fully recovered from my workouts, I can maybe pull that back down to 200 to give myself more calorie allowance towards fats and carbs. It's all a little, you know, give and take. So you have to go with the recommendations we're saying, but then you have to fine tune it and tweak it to you. This is why people like me have a job, because there's so much individuality to nutrition. There are concepts that we all have to follow and that applies to everybody, but how you apply them is very individual in nature. So it's something where you can start with a good number and kind of adjust from there. So at least we can get you kind of close to where to start. So one of the listeners, they were having trouble meeting their protein requirements because they're following a format that we had discussed in a lot of previous podcasts about tracking calories and protein in sections of your day. So we talked about how the mistake that people make is tracking calories and protein per day, like per 24 hours. So, okay, I need to have 2,000 calories per day, but they eat nothing all day. They eat all 2,000 right before they go to bed. They don't necessarily weigh, they don't gain a bunch of weight, but they have a lot more fat and a lot less muscle than what they could at the exact same weight. So that really messes up your body composition. It does not allow you to look your best. There's also just energy crashes, cortisol crashes, a bunch of other things that happen when you have long stretches of undereating and then, a shorter stretch of overeating. A lot of negativity. So we talked about one way that I use with clients, and this most clients find this very successful. They enjoy this a lot, and we found this to be a pretty good system, is if you break a 24-hour day into six sections. So that would be 6 4-hour blocks. We're going to roughly say that you're sleeping for two of those, so about 8 hours a day. Now, I know, people only get maybe 6 to 8. So what you want to think of, though, is you have about 4 4-hour blocks to manage throughout the day. Now, I've had some clients break up their, awake time into 3 blocks. Some of them break up their awake time into 2 blocks. We do it however it's needed for the individual. But a general one that I've recommended a lot is the 4 4-hour blocks. And what it is the second you wake up, that first 4 hours you're awake is block number one. The second 4 hours you're awake is block number two. Third 4 hours you're awake is block number three. The fourth 4 hours you're awake is block number four. And then you kind of just go to bed. So we don't really think about that extra an hour or an hour and a half or 2 hours you might be awake at the very end of the day. That all kind of adds into that fourth block. Now, the goal of this is you would want to manage your calories and protein per block. This allows us to ensure that we don't undereat during the day and overeat at night. That's really the basic principle of it, is it makes sure that we pay attention to the beginning of the day, make sure that we pay attention to the middle of the day, make sure we pay attention to the end of the day. So that way, we're not going with huge deficits and huge surpluses, so we can look our best, feel our best, and kind of weigh our best. Now, the listener was saying that due to their body weight, their goal is 220 grams of protein a day, so they have to do 55 grams of protein per time block, so per 4-hour block. They were saying that they were having a really hard time eating 55 grams of protein per meal. The caveat there was that if we're doing 4 4-hour blocks, it doesn't mean we only can eat 4 meals. When we say track your 4-hour blocks, it just means however many meals you have within 4 hours, make sure it's equal in calories and protein to however many meals you have in the second 4-hour block, to however many meals you have in the third 4-hour block, to however many meals you have in the fourth 4-hour block. So what we would be saying here is, if we're looking at protein exclusively rather than calories, is we want to eat 55 grams of protein per 4 hours of being awake. That doesn't necessarily mean we can only eat 4 meals. So if this person is having trouble fitting 55 grams per meal, have more meals. Spread it out. So I looked at an example of one of the days I went through recently, and my goal at this moment is just getting over 200 grams of protein every day, and there's a whole bunch of caveats to everything, but roughly if I get between 200 to 300 grams of protein, it all averages out for me, whether it's a training day, non-training day. I have a little bit of looseness in how I do what I do, because I do want to look good at this moment, but I'm focusing a lot on business and some other projects and things. So at this moment, I'm trying to not get fatter. I would like to get some more muscle and some more strength, but I'm not going to go nuts trying to go after that while I'm going after these bigger things. So I kind of let myself be mentally loose between 200 and 300 grams. I went back through the last couple days just to track and see where I'm at, and I was actually between 230 and 250 grams every single day. So it's funny how when you do this on a regular basis, you get pretty consistent. So I was pretty happy with that. So if I look through what my day was recently, it'll give you an example of what this looks like. Is I had a bagel sandwich, which is a bagel with 3 ounces of lunch meat and a slice of cheese in it, side of it. And that's around 30 grams of protein. I then had a shake of protein powder, baby food rice, because I don't like oatmeal, and then peanut butter and whole milk. And that whole shake ends up being about 50 grams of carbs. Now, I had that within the first 3 hours of being awake. The second set of, first 4 hours of being awake. The second set of 4 hours, I had chicken sausages and rice, and then I worked out. So I only had 16 grams of protein in that chicken sausage and rice. Now, I did drink some whole milk while I worked out. I don't really remember the exact amount, so I'm not even going to really count it. I think it would have been probably at least a cup or two of whole milk, so that would be around 8 to 16 grams of protein. But let's skip that because I don't even know exactly how much it was. I wasn't measuring it. Then after the workout, I had whole milk and cashews as a snack to kind of like eat something while I was finishing up some computer work after my workout. I then went home. I had steak and rice for dinner. And then before bed, I had my protein and peanut butter and whole milk, but I didn't have the baby food rice because I didn't need the carbs right before bed. And the whole milk and cashews were about 40 grams of protein. The steak and rice was 46, and the protein and peanut butter and whole milk was 50. So if I went through my whole day, each block is not identical. I had 80 grams of protein in my first 4 hours, only 16 grams of protein in my second 4 hours. I had 40 grams of protein in my third 4 hours, and then 96 grams of protein in my final 4 hours. But this actually still met a pretty good demand. If we think of my lowest block of protein was actually leading into my workout, my highest amount of protein would have been at the very beginning of the day to give my body a bunch of kind of maintenance and repair things to kind of prep for the day and have on hand for the day as I started into the day. And then the bulk of my protein was immediately after the workout throughout the evening. I had 136 grams of my protein, so that's roughly about half of my protein, a little over, in the kind of six-ish hours after the workout. So that's absolutely great. So it ended up working out well, given the timing of my workout, even though the timing of my protein was not necessarily consistent. So I ended up having 232 grams of protein throughout the entire day, but I ate six different times, and then we'd count the seventh if you counted like drinking some milk during my workout. Now, does your schedule allow you to eat six different times? Maybe yes, maybe no. But this is something you'd want to think of, is if you are trying to break your day into sections and you notice that each section has too many grams of protein for a singular meal, then break that section into two meals, maybe one big one and a small snack, something like that. But you definitely don't have to stick to four meals if you're doing the four-hour time blocks. It just means we're tracking every 4 hours. We're not necessarily only eating every 4 hours. So if somebody's struggling to do that, if they're struggling to meet all their protein demands in four meals, eat more meals. Now, some other questions that we had we can answer with the next two sections of the podcast is, how do we get more protein in throughout the day? One method is to use low-calorie protein additives. And why do we care if they're low-calorie? Because if we want to add protein to our diet, but we don't want to break our caloric total for the day, we ideally would like to add the protein without having it paired with a lot of fats or a lot of carbs. Now, most protein is going to be paired with fats, but I wouldn't want to add in 10 grams of protein if it also added in 10 grams of fat. That's going to be a lot of calories just to get that extra 10 grams of protein in. So that might ruin my entire daily calorie total by just trying to chase after 10 extra grams of protein. So we have to make sure they're low calorie additives. So one of the easiest ones is a protein powder. You can get a protein powder relatively cheap. Now, they do have casein protein powders and whey protein powders. Casein is C-A-S-E-I-N, and whey protein is W-H-E-Y. Casein protein digests slowly, whereas whey protein digests quickly. You do not need to have really eat like one and the other. What I've always done is I just use whey protein because it's cheaper and it tastes better, and then I mix it with whole foods. If you mix the whey protein with something else, it'll slow down the digestion of the whey protein, so that way it serves as a casein protein would. So for example, before bed I might have, like, if I want to be a little bit low in calories, I won't use like my whole milk. I would use like protein powder. I might do a tablespoon of peanut butter in almond milk, like unsweetened almond milk. And that's not a ton of extra calories. It reduces the sugar content and the fat content from the whole milk. So it brings that shake down in calories, but I can still get a really good serving of protein by having that protein powder before bed. And by mixing in the peanut butter, it slows down the digestion of the whey. Now, if I want to be more strict with my calories, I can buy a casein protein powder and drink that, since the casein protein breaks down slowly on its own. So, another option we have is low-fat cheese. Like I said, you can add like a bagel sandwich that I have some mornings. I'll have 3 ounces of meat, a slice of cheese, and a bagel. If I want to add the cheese to get the protein in, but I don't want to necessarily have the 8 grams of fat that comes with a slice of cheese or whatever it might be, I can get low-fat or fat-free cheese. You can add that to sandwiches, you can add it to tacos, you can add it to whatever the hell you're eating, and that's a great way to get a little bit of protein boost. Now, the big thing is don't worry about having, like, we can get a singular boost of protein that's significant through something like a protein powder. But you can also get small additions throughout the day by adding in something like low-fat cheese or no-fat cheese. And you can even do like a fat-free Greek yogurt as a snack during the day. That's a good way to get 20 grams of protein in anywhere. One of my clients, they mix in fat-free cottage cheese into chips and salsa. So they actually don't, it doesn't really change the taste of the salsa much. They don't even notice it, but it's a great way for them to get some extra protein into a snack that they enjoy. Another client, they use egg whites instead of whole eggs. So they might do a cup of egg whites and one whole egg just to get a little bit of flavor in there. That same client also makes a burrito where they'll do steak, egg whites, and fat-free cheese mixed together inside of a low-carb burrito. And they really like that. That's actually what they eat every morning. And they enjoy that because it's a great way to get a ton of protein in, but it's not super high in calories, so it doesn't ruin their kind of tracking for that block of time. So that's one method, is to use low-calorie protein additives. Another method we have is to replace low-protein foods. So one example would be as if you have in your meals, you have a very fatty meat. Well, you can replace that with a low-fat meat. The reason why is you're replacing some of the calories of the fat with some additive calories of protein. You can get in more meat within the calorie limit by allowing for more protein by having less fat. So instead of using a fatty meat, you would find something that has half as much fat in it, and then all of a sudden you can get a lot more amount of meat in per caloric limit, and that allows you to get your extra protein. So if you think about eating like a sirloin steak versus white fish, you know, if I'm allowed to have 300 calories of sirloin steak versus 300 calories of white fish, I'm going to eat a crap ton of white fish to get to 300 calories, and that's going to be a ton of protein. Whereas 300 calories of sirloin steak, you might eat that and still want to be hungry. So you can swap out fatty meats with low-fat meats. You can also switch greater volume into your carb foods. So you can substitute a calorically dense carb with a less calorically dense carb. What that does, it still allows you to have a large amount of carbs in volume in your meals, but it doesn't add up to as many calories. So it doesn't feel like you're eating less, but there is less calories, and therefore you can have more proteins. So one person, I know they have a low-carb pasta that they eat, and they make a red sauce with really lean beef in it for the family, and they can eat more beef since they have the low-carb pasta. So that's a great way where they get to feel like they get an Italian meal, but it's not like going to destroy everything. The low-carb pasta tastes good enough once it's covered in some marinara sauce and meat, so it's still a protein-rich meal, even though it feels kind of fun for them. Another client, what they do is they have like a beef roast, and they used to eat it with mashed potatoes. They now have switched to chunks of white potatoes mixed with beets and squash. Well, since they're mixing since they went from mashed potato to regular potato, that's already less kind of calories per unit of potato. And then since they're mixing it with beets and squash, they're eating less potatoes overall. So that's actually lowering their calorie content even lower to allowing them to eat more of the beef roast. So these are things we can do, and I work with all these people to help with all these ideas, so hopefully some of these are helping in this conversation. But that's the fun part of getting to work together, is we get to kind of say, okay, what foods do you like, what can we modify, how do we adjust these things? But if we're looking at methods to meet protein requirements, what you can think of is look through your food tracker, okay? Look through your meals and see which meals are the lowest in protein. In that meal, can you try to substitute a high carb food with a low carb food to allow for more calories? Can you substitute a high fat food with a low fat food to allow for more calories so you can add more protein? Or can you maybe add some kind of protein, low calorie protein additives if that meal has room for calories to increase? So maybe you could just add a slice of cheese. Maybe you could, you know, just mix in like a protein powder in a drink and have that at the same time. You could add more egg whites to the meal. So it doesn't even have to be just breakfast. Like a client who does like the steak and egg whites, you can just throw some egg whites in there, mix it up, get some extra protein in. So that's one method, is to look through your foods, look through your daily meals, and see if there's a meal lowest in protein and try to substitute and add like protein-based foods. You can also look through your daily meals, and if everything is high, and that like, man, there isn't really a lowest meal, there's not a meal that's really missing any protein, everything seems really high, everything seems like the most I could possibly eat per meal, well, then have more meals. So add another meal into your schedule somewhere, or even just a shake before bed, a protein shake before bed, and that helps a lot. So hopefully these are some good ideas that can help you kind of get a better idea of how to meet the protein requirements and not feel so overwhelmed trying to get to that number. Another thing to remember is just if you're new to being in the range of 0.6 to 1 gram per pound, maybe you never really paid attention to it before, and when you first ever started paying attention, you were barely at 0.6. Well, if you work out 4 to 5 times a week and you're like, I'm supposed to be at 1 gram per pound of body weight, I have to go all the way to 1. It's okay if you've been previously at 0.6 to now be only at 0.7. Try that for a week or two. Get used to the protein. Then go to 0.8. Try that for a month. You know, just walk your way up there. You don't have to get there right away. As long as you're doing better than you were doing before, you're going to get better results than you were getting before. So it's, you know, it's a marathon. Just take small steps. Take your time. You can do it. Okay? Cool. Well, if you have any questions, if you need any help from there, our email is brunelleirandjim@gmail.com. We're always here. I'm always happy to help. We do online clients. You know, like I said, that's where we get a lot of this information from for how I work with people to find these nuances and these individual aspects. If you're interested in being an online client, you can just email me at brunelleirandjim@gmail.com. Tell me your story. Tell me what your goals are. Tell me what you're struggling with. And I'll answer you back and we'll talk about it. Okay. So our online client programming, it does include training programming, customized and individualized to you, your needs, your equipment, everything about you. We have nutrition program that's, again, individualized to every single thing about you, your schedule, your preferences, everything you. We also have accountability tracking. We offer technique review for exercises and tons and tons and tons of educational support. So it's truly every single thing I can give you to you can be your best. If you're interested in that, just email us at brunelleirandjim@gmail.com. Well, if you like today's podcast, if you think it's helpful, please share the podcast. The more people we share the podcast with, the more people we can help. And that's what we're really here for. So I appreciate everybody who shares the podcast. It helps us help more people and just make this world a better place. And that's really appreciative. Thank you to the patrons of the podcast, people who financially support the podcast on the Podbean platform and through the podcast donation link accessible through the link on our Instagram homepage. We've had some people donate through that, and that's pretty awesome. So thank you very much. The podcast is quite expensive, well over $1,000 a year. So I really appreciate the financial support to make sure we can actually do this every day and be able to help hundreds and hundreds of people. So thank you very much. If you like the information we share in our podcast, you can find more from us on our social media channels on Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, and YouTube under the name Brunelleir and Jim. If you have any questions, feedback, suggestions, anything that you want to know, let us know at our email, brutalirongym@gmail.com. As always, I hope this was helpful, and thank you for listening.